Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Pen Pineapple Apple Pen Hour, where we...
Wrong podcast again, Dave.
Damn it. Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host, Dave.
And Ben.
And the sponge under the sea, apparently. I have no idea what this is.
It's just the latest stupid internet thing that has everyone's attention for a minute.
I'm just glad I got my own name right this.
It must have only been a minute because, like you said, I haven't caught on to it yet. And I've been pretty diligent about my YouTube research lately.
YouTube research.
I believe it was exactly 52 seconds.
Yes.
51. I'm playing it right now.
Yes, but we're not here to talk about pineapples or pens or apples.
Unless they're pertinent. If we were reviewing Psych, then there might be some pineapples.
Oh, that is true.
But that show is long gone, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of sad.
And I'm not currently binge-watching that.
Watch everything except the last season.
Well, I don't know. I was okay with the last season, too. They got Cameo happy, and I admit it was kind of fun. They were playing with themselves at that point.
Well, it was when...
Not in a weird way.
It was when the minute it
came out of my mouth, I knew. And then that one, too.
Yeah. But it was when the two actors started dating each other that in real life, that it just seemed like all of a sudden Sean went from the 98-pound weakling he was supposed to portray to this bulked-up guy. And then, you know, they it didn't seem like they were trying anymore. The acting went downhill. I mean, they were having fun, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I can't think of the actress's name, but she was leaving to go do another show.
Yeah.
You know,
didn't carry.
Which made them wrap up Psych, and then, yeah, that show got canceled.
It happens.
So, good choice.
No. But anyway, before we start, I guess we should address the elephant in the room.
Hey, I'm looking to lose some weight. It's an ongoing issue.
All right. This is going to take one and a half sips of blackberry brandy before we can deal with an elephant. If it were a pygmy elephant, I could do one.
First of all, that whole sound bite needs to be captured.
There we go.
and posted out of context on the internet. So.
Okay.
Oh, good.
That could be the next pineapple pen.
Yes.
So which part of the elephant am I touching? Am I touching the tail, the trunk, or the middle?
Hey, if you're taking a couple sips of brandy to brace for it, then I'm thinking you're getting the rear end.
Yeah, definitely. No, so...
guys, you're so nice.
No one noticed, though, that we didn't have an episode last week.
We didn't?
No. See, you didn't even notice.
I did.
And
well,
that
doesn't mean, but go ahead.
I'm still catching up on my podcast, so I haven't gotten to that gap yet.
And that was due to technical difficulties on my end. I completely lost the recording. And it was actually an interview, too. So,
well, let's face it. It's because you couldn't pronounce his name and he got pissed off.
No, because it was an easy name. It was
an English name. It couldn't get much simpler.
Yes, it was Sam.
But we're talking
Johnson.
Dave here.
That's true.
Yeah, so we have talked it over with Sam and apologized to him. And we will have him on again soon.
Did you give him the coupons? You gave him the coupons, didn't you?
I gave him the coupons, yes.
Of course.
Coupons at Dunkin' Donuts for anybody we diss.
Yes. Well, and free hugs from you was the other coupon book.
No, that's the punishment.
I mean, there was some confusion because he asked for a basket of biscuits for compensation for it, and we got it completely wrong.
So, like I said,
it was an impromptu vacation for us.
Yeah, so we will be rescheduling that sometime soon, but we have we're booked for the next month, guys, so we gotta get through this. So tonight, well, or whenever you're listening to this.
Right.
We're going to talk about two of the biggest premieres that have happened so far this season.
Squirrel Girl! Oh, sorry.
No,
not yet.
Squirrel,
not
Squirrel
yet,
Girl yet. Calm
Someday.
Down.
Lucifer?
No.
Oh, come on. It's Dark Horse Comics.
The first one was on Amazon Prime, and I hope everyone saw The Tick.
Oh, my God. You have to see The Tick. You must go. Oh. See. In fact, turn us off. Go to Amazon, get a Prime membership, and watch The Tick now. I am telling you, you have to do this. And okay, go ahead. Sorry, that just spewed out. I have no idea where that came from.
I will say, I mean, it's part of their pilot season. So there's only the 1 half-hour episode as sort of a, you know, a palate wetter out there. It's yet to be determined whether a full series is going to be greenlit. But it seems, as far as the reviews of it, it seems to be getting positively received, and it seems like it's a good possibility. But I will say, for my own part in watching it, like, I was skeptical about Peter Serafinovich in the lead role as the Tick, but I think he nailed it. I think he hit the hammer on the head perfectly.
Yes,
he did. It was just beautiful to watch. Just the way he just portrayed complete and utter insanity. It was wonderful. And
I don't know.
Have seen the. Go ahead. What are you saying?
I don't know if insanity is the right word. I've always
the wacky Tick, cluelessness.
Yeah, it's blissful ignorance of how the real world works
and reality in general. Yeah.
Well,
yes.
This is another one of those debates on the, you know, the dark web or whatever. But well, because, you know, you don't want to talk about the Tick in you know, daylight, because God, people would see that you've watched it. But that, you know, not for our listeners, go ahead and watch it anyway. We won't tell anybody. One of the debates is, this is another super sanity debate where the Tick is either completely insane or he's super sane and he's seeing things about, you know, he's breaking the fourth wall himself and seeing how things are going out, which would go toward his monologues of about how he's seeing how fate is tying things together. So it leaves you wonder. It's like in the original cartoon, not the cartoon. I mean the actual comic book. They had one point where Arthur was sitting there, and the Tick had been using the Viewmaster as like a, you know, evil detector or something. And Arthur's like, yeah, he's completely insane. And at one point, there's one panel where Arthur's looking through the Viewmaster just like for the hell of it, and he's seeing all these controls and specs coming out and all that. And then he blinks and it's gone. And he's sitting there like, what the hell was that? So you always wonder if the Tick is like, you know, actually seeing that this is, you know, a cartoon being written of which he's part of. And that, you know, he sees how fate is tying things together and where the way things are going. It's actually pretty cool. And they played it perfectly in this.
Right. Right. And, I mean, it's funny because, I mean, the Tick's been around since, I think, 1988 is when the comic was first came out. And then there was an earlier version on TV.
Oh, God, no, don't look at that. Don't. There are better things to watch, like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Well,
you know, yeah. that's like high, that's high art compared to that turd that was the TV version. Ugh.
Which is a shame, honestly, because I like Patrick Warburton.
And oh yeah, no, he was perfect.
I love him in so many things, and he seemed like the perfect fit for that role. Like both in his voice and his build and his demeanor. Like he should be able to pull off that role splendidly. I didn't actually ever watch that show, and it seems like I probably dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
It was the writing. It was definitely the writing, because there was just too many potty sex jokes. It became not really funny. It was like a parody of what the original concept was. The cartoon was brilliant and just hysterical. It was
absolutely.
You know.
Well, I mean, I think it was a case of the writers didn't love the source material or weren't as aware of the source material as the fans.
Had the concept, but not the roadmap.
Right, right. They were told, oh, make a funny show. So
right, make a sitcom out of this set of characters.
Right, right. And it's the type of humor that makes it.
Yeah, and the Tick's insanity and how it plays off of Arthur and
right
and all the different personalities of all the different superheroes. And
yeah, and just in this half hour look between the Tick and Arthur and the villain that they've introduced, and even the tertiary hero that they introduced, they've really captured that essence very well and very quickly.
And they did it while making parts of it really dark too.
Yeah.
Which is just brilliant, because you're sitting there, it's almost like the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie, where you go from one where it seems almost like slapstick or anything to the next where people are literally having their throats ripped out. So you start to get this whiplash, but this Tick episode played it perfectly. You got the really dark parts where you're sitting there going, oh crap, this isn't a comedy. People are actually getting killed and injured and scarred for life. And then you go back to the Tick going, go tell it on the mountain, and exploding everything. It's just, am I gushing? I'm probably gushing. I think I'm gushing.
A little bit.
I will say it was an interesting, I wasn't expecting the direction they went with it. I mean, yes, yeah, and no, in the sense of like the Tick, at least in the premiere, is almost a minor character. It's really all about Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's definitely, well, and I think the cartoon kind of was that way too. Arthur was essentially the main character.
Yeah.
And we were always seeing things. We were essentially seeing things through his lens of experience. It was called the Tick, but it was really about Arthur having, you know, being his psychic and dealing with the hysteria that is the Tick.
Right.
He's the everyman whose eyes we peer through to see things from our point of view.
Exactly. And
get his reactions to them.
And but they gave him more of a backstory in this incarnation, and more of a kind of serious backstory.
Yeah. They definitely did not, keep it light and family friendly with his backstory. Like, he definitely is traumatized from a past that connects to all these things that are going on.
Right. Yes. He has a past that is connected to the Terror, who is dead, or everyone believes is dead. And yes, I don't want to give too much away. Just
yeah.
If you haven't seen it, go watch it now. Right. You know,
it's available on Amazon Prime for free to watch the first episode. And hopefully the more people that watch it, the more people that rate it, then we'll get a full season order and we'll all have more to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah. And not if, just go and do it. We need a full season of this.
Agreed.
We just, you know, if anything, to have something to watch when Gotham is on.
What is this thing you speak of? I don't know what you're talking about.
You have to fill that time, you know, right? Because that's supposed to be, you know, happy, fun, comic booky time. Let's just say we need the Tick.
Look, we made it official. We're not going to talk about that show anymore.
That show. No.
It's not a superhero show, so it doesn't qualify.
Right.
Or so they say.
Unlike Riverdale will maybe at some point.
Oh, my God. Riverdale. I can't believe
it. Captain Caveman!
I think it could happen.
That would be all right. Brilliant.
Why don't you share that with the audience?
Okay. So to bring the audience in on the joke. So Riverdale is coming to the CW this season, which is a live action interpretation of the Archie comics. Josie and the Pussycats were characters that were spun off from that comic book, and you know, both in the comics and in the cartoons, and they will be characters this coming season in the show. And they've released a press photo of Josie and the Pussycats where they were lacking their signature, you know, cat ears and cat tail. Which some have sort of made comments about that, but one person astutely noted that's the one case in the cartoons where they didn't have the tail and the ears was when they were in, you know, acting as sort of the angels to, you know, to counter Captain Caveman and his adventures. And therefore, maybe this is a sign that we will see Captain Caveman in this live action TV show.
And
which
if you get
I'm pretty sure Brendan Fraser is available,
yeah,
and should be cast in this role.
Yeah. And Captain Caveman appeared with Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt, and if you go one step further, there's Kevin Bacon. So there you go.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get Captain Caveman in the show.
Okay, but if we do, we're talking about it.
Okay.
Do you think we'll get Sabrina?
That's tricky because she's been on television already.
Yeah.
So they'd have to like work out logistics there and TV rights and whatnot. I don't know. And
plus she's making movies with PureFlix now, so that's gonna be hard to get her out of that, I guess.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. When is that premiering?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're into that,
I barely know what's happening today, Dave.
That's true. But there was another show that premiered, last week.
Recently, yes.
And that, of course, was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which, I loved it. I thought it was a great introduction. I think it brought us up to speed quickly. I like the Ghost Rider introduction. Generally, although I've heard that it did not have a good market share. It didn't really get a lot of views. And hopefully that's not a negative sign.
I saw an article saying they got a lot of numbers of people watching it on demand afterwards.
Well, that's good.
Because my guess is that, and like the biggest spike they've ever had with that. And my guess is, you know, everyone, again, has written them off and they're either like, oh, 10 o'clock, I could be, you know.
Yeah. People don't keep track of these schedules like me. And
yeah,
so.
Yeah. And at 10 o'clock, they're ready to watch the porn and then go to bed. And
right.
Hey. But their DVR probably remembered from last season and picked it up. Exactly.
They're like, oh, wait, here's something I can watch that I didn't realize was going to record. And so then they can watch it, and that picks up the numbers. That's good. Yeah. I actually, oddly, watched it in real time because I don't have a DVR anymore.
Yes, you need to correct that.
I may have to shortly. I'll discuss that later.
It's built into Windows 10. Anyway.
What'd you think of the Life Model Decoy?
I thought that was interesting. I think that it's an interesting, a different take on it because
right.
The Life Model Decoys typically in the comics were built as replicas of specific people.
Right.
And essentially could act as not a doppelganger per se. Like a lot of times they were being piloted by the user, especially with Nick Fury's, you know, Life Model Decoys. Like it was a lot of times you'd think you had Nick Fury cornered. And like you try to kill him, and it turned out it was a Life Model Decoy the whole
time.
Yeah,
I was gonna say 99% of Life Model Decoys that came out in the first few years were all modeled after him.
Right.
And it was expensive too. He even got the tech support, you know, pass and the Geek Squad thing, but they kept blowing up.
But he was always in a lot of those incarnations, he was directly piloting those Life Model Decoys. So this is a very different take in that it's. A, it's not modeled after any specific, you know, agent or individual, and B, it has its own AI to exist independently. They've gone both ways.
And the thing is that the Life Model Decoy, the first person they choose to play it is Mallory Jansen, who, you know, if you're going to make a Life Model Decoy. That's not an AI. That's anatomically correct.
Yeah, I'd have no arguments with their choice there.
I know, but they could have just gone if they're going to go with the Life Model Decoys that are supposed to, you know, help out and be decoys. You know, of course, the first one you pick is a Victoria's Secret's model.
I'm looking forward to is later in the season. When she's essentially becomes the team's Robo Buffy, because I think that's where this is headed.
Well, okay. First off, number one, if I was making a Life Model Decoy like that, I wouldn't create a person. I would model her after someone. So like Emma Stone, Angelina Jolie. But anyway.
He may have. It just hasn't really been brought up who he might have modeled her after.
Right. Do you think they're going to go the... sentient, is this a person route with this?
They can't, because if they do, I mean, the whole point of the Life Model Decoys is that they're not sentient. And, you know, if you include the fact that in the movie universe, they just had that problem with, you know.
With Vision.
Yeah, well, with Vision and with, Ultron.
Ultron,
it just, yeah. If they go that way, things... Well, you know, they could do it to mess with the plot, but I think they've got enough plot points right now without having to add that in.
Yeah, I don't think they need to go down the philosophical debate necessarily too soon. I think I'm sort of looking forward to the sub arc of Fitz helping him, quote unquote, work out the kinks. Like, I was sort of surprised by that turn later in the episode where he basically said, we keep the secret, you know, and keep, you know, until we get all the kinks worked out. Even though initially he was very, you know, you shouldn't be doing this in private. You should be telling everyone what you're doing, and then sort of change his own tune.
Well, that's because, you know, after being introduced to it and having give this whole spiel about I am a shield, I'm here to get destroyed, you know, and given that Simmons is what, she's getting a lie detector test every freaking day, apparently.
Yeah.
So yeah, it makes sense in that light that he'd have to do that. Of course, we still don't know who's giving the lie detector tests. We don't know who this mysterious boss is. So
yeah, they didn't show him. We know who's playing that part, but I'm surprised we didn't even see just like a, you know, quick him showing up somewhere saying something.
Who's playing the part?
I can't remember the actor's name off the top of my head, but I've seen pictures of him.
I think they said that he'll be in episode 2. So
yeah, well, that's the name of the second episode. It's like Meet the Boss or something.
Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting direction they've gone, I thought, this season too. Like, not only they brought in a new boss, but now they're at this, they split up the team, they're all working in different areas, and
well, it's bigger again. It's back to being a full-fledged agency, and they probably pulled in some of what's his name's guys, Talbot's.
Right, but there's like this whole nobody trusts them really, and they're all spying on each other again, like all the stuff that Fury like
tried to dispel.
Right. The now they're back to that. It's like that quick. It's like they could have built up to that somehow, you know.
Right. Jason O'Mara is the actor who's playing the new director. But even is in the details, it doesn't say anything besides director as his name.
Yeah, his assistant must be Michael Chertoff, considering that they have the color codes all to figure out who the hell's got what secret. Yeah. You know, clearance or whatever.
I kind of found that interesting in that their color codes were not like, it's not a simple like
hierarchy,
it's not like a rainbow. It's there's overlap. Like, so higher clearance, you actually have mixes of colors. So would the highest level of clearance be gray?
No, it'd be white, because white is all colors.
I guess that's true.
Go physical science 101. So yes.
It's all colors in the light spectrum, but with pigment, isn't black the presence of all color?
Don't go all CYMK. You
know, that's the absorption.
Stick with RGB.
Yeah, the absorption of all colors.
And I think you know, Simmons is being a bit greedy with her orange level clearance.
Right. Well, she said she's trying to protect.
That was a reference there.
Oh, fun. Okay. Yes. Allow me to talk right over that and completely miss it.
It's not as fun when I have to explain my jokes, John.
Yes, go ahead. Explain your joke. It's funnier that way.
That's okay. Let's see. I'm not going to lay into the Skittles now for that. Actually, I deserve a green one. Let's see. What else we got? Oh, yeah. No. So we were right. The Ghost Rider is not full-fledged what he's supposed to be. We might be seeing the penance stare out of him, and
it's hard to say. The version of Ghost Rider that he is, he's the Robbie Reyes incarnation, and he's visually and physically, he's a perfect incarnation of that from the comic books.
Right.
The thing about that version from the comic books is that it is different from the Johnny Blaze and other versions. He's not imbued with a spirit of vengeance. He was essentially imbued, like the character Robbie Reyes gets gunned down by a bunch of thugs, and comes back to life by being instilled or possessed by essentially a dead serial killer's ghost, who basically gives him these, you know, lets him heal and give him these powers. But they're different. It's a slightly
control
different
over
power
hellfire
set.
And all that.
Right.
No, he still has control over Hellfire like the rest of them do.
Yes, but the power set is slightly different from other Ghost Riders. There hasn't been, I don't think there's been evidence in the comics for that particular version to have the pennant stare, but he does have some other abilities such that he can essentially teleport via shadows.
Yes. Yeah, his car can teleport, and he can teleport himself.
Right.
So, and but it's not instantaneous.
And both he and his car can essentially be invulnerable.
Yeah, I figured since DC sucks so bad now, I'd start learning Marvel stuff.
So. But they also have the little brother who, you know, from the comics, he has a little brother who's younger in the comics, mm-hmm. who's wheelchair bound.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Quake pointed out, everyone's got a weakness.
Yep. Yeah, but I find it interesting that they're pushing Daisy's problem with her bones shattering. Like, they're harping on that.
It's not a new problem. Like, that was a problem before. And given what she's been up against, it's not surprising that she's running into that problem.
Yeah, but you don't, as a storyteller, you wouldn't mention that so prominently unless you were going to make it a point later.
Right.
And how do you get around, I mean, I'm not familiar with the comics with Quake in them, but does that become an issue with her where she can't use her powers anymore? Does she lose them because of that, or she can't use them without, you know, destroying herself? Or,
well, remember last season, Simmons made a pair of gloves for her that helped reduce that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but it ended up making the problem worse because of it was channeling it the wrong way and ended up causing her to have more internal damage.
Right, but
less.
That's the whole thing, is now they can flip that this season. You know, they come up with one that actually helps her, but she needs them. That's right. How they get back together, in a way.
Could be. And in the comics, I don't know, honestly, I don't know enough about the comic version of the character to speak to if that's a problem that she faces in the comics. But I do know that she does almost ever presently wear these gauntlets on her hands and her wrists, you know, and her forearms that I assume help her direct her power, but it could be related to a similar problem that she has otherwise.
Right. I don't think I've read much anything that has her in it. And then of course the fact that they did go Robbie Reyes with this incarnation means they've left the door open
for Nicolas Cage
to come in.
Oh God, no, the bees. I just wanted to put that
out there.
Well, maybe if they have somebody in bear costume that needs to be their have their lights punched out, I'd you know. And if you need that reference explained to you, go through the Nostalgia Critic stuff and look for, what was the name of that movie? God, it was a movie with all the witches on the island that drove them nuts. I forget what it is, but Nostalgia Critic has it. And if you want more information about Quake, like, you know, say we do, there's a guy on the YouTube called there's a channel called Comics Explained. The guy's very good. He's basically a supercomputer that stores comic information. And there's a video on that on Daisy Johnson / Quake.
Okay.
So, very cool.
Yes. But so we can only hope that we'll get Nicolas Cage.
Oh, if they did that, you know, just the ratings would go up just to watch the self-destruction.
Exactly. That's the point.
You never know if you're going to get Crazy Cage or Crazier Cage.
And all right. So, and then, of course, they spent time showing, of course, what Coulson has been up to. And essentially, he's trying to work under the radar to find Daisy or Quake or Sky or whatever her name is this season.
Yeah. And I did find some of the, you know, duplicitousness around that kind of amusing and interesting, in that, like, basically May had given them secret intel about her being there, but, like, had her sending them out there be under the guise of something else.
Right.
And when Simmons found out about it, to cover her own ass, sent May and the team out after them, but knowing that she would just as much be helping them as you know, reining them in. So there's a lot of weird duplicitous, I don't want to say backdoor action, but...
But you know said it, I mean? Anyway.
I did.
There's a lot of under the table shuffling going on.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, well, it's going to be, and you know, I kind of like the idea. I like shows where you've got the main group or the main character and they're constantly going up against things. The whole infighting thing gets really old because it can be a plot trap where you have to constantly explain how people are changing their minds as to whether or not to trust a person from one episode to the next. And it gets so bad that you don't even care about the characters anymore. So I hope they don't like push that too hard.
It's new for them. And hopefully they'll know where to keep it reined in. I mean, it is, you know, it's Jed Whedon and his wife working on this. I'm pretty sure they know the line. I did actually enjoy, I found it interesting, at least, you know, Yo-Yo's sort of allegiance, like being both on the team and helping out, but also sort of, you know, secretly helping Daisy out as well.
Yeah. And her hitting on what's his face. I mean, yeah. Mac. Wow. Talk
Mac.
About
Mac.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, macking on the Mac. Apparently she's just, she's going after him like completely. I mean, you know, she did everything except, you know, throw him down on the floor for crying out loud. That's funny.
That's why they moved it to 10, folks.
Yeah. Max, an idiot. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so speaking of that, like moved it to 10 for more mature audiences. Like, I will say,
oh, we had blood. We had
there
blood.
We had blood. A good amount of blood in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yes, and
so worth it. Totally worth it.
We had a naked life model decoy. I mean, obviously they didn't show
nudity. It was close though. I mean, I've seen more from, you know, like Orphan Black and other cable shows, but it was pretty for a network show. That was surprising.
Yes, and then of course, like we just said, Yo-Yo trying to seduce Mac, you know. So is that the tone they're setting up for this season? Is that going to continue, you think?
I think there's a good chance for it, yeah. And I mean, definitely with, look, you have a guy whose power is fire based, you know. I think, and you know, Daisy out there using her powers a little bit more recklessly, you're gonna have some blood.
And you're gonna have collateral damage is what you're gonna have.
Like, and I mean, they finally gave Mac a shotgun axe in the end of last season. So if he's gonna use that this season, you got to have that 10 o'clock time slot.
He's gonna go all ash on the Evil Dead. Oh. He's gonna go all ash on the Ghost Rider.
Collateral damage, like Daisy's uniform being burned off. Oh, sorry.
You know,
that's only my fanfiction.
I'm sure there's some forums where you can find that.
Are we moving this podcast to 10 p.m.? I just want to know.
Yes.
So, yeah, overall, you know, I was actually pleased with it. I can't wait to see how it goes. I hope the viewership goes up. Although if they keep the DVR numbers up, that's fine, I think.
Yeah. And I'm glad to hear that that's actually, you know, made up for some of the slump initially. And I'm on board. Like, I like what they've done so far, and I'm interested to see where it goes.
Yeah, yes. I think it might turn out that bringing Ghost Rider on this would be the best idea they could have had, because I still don't understand why the viewership was declining, but because it's damn good, and the characters are fun and they're interesting and they're engaging. So
yeah, I think they lost some with the slow build in season one, and a lot of those people haven't necessarily come back.
Mm. Well, just throw some blood on a fiery chain and, yep, you know, should be able to pull at least a few new ones in.
Exactly. Flaming skulls, naked robots. They got everything that you could want.
You know what they could have that might make it a little better?
What?
Stanley.
A psychopath with a gun going around shooting all the bad guys.
Oh yeah, that is true. They could have that, and maybe they will. Apparently, at least the actor wants a piece.
Okay,
of it.
So
I love that actor. This, that actor is awesome.
Let me just say that this is still in the rumor mill, but this is a rumor. I hope more than anything is true.
Or comes true.
Yes. That John
Barenthal,
who played Barenthal. Come on. Everyone take a shot, okay?
Yes.
Who played Punisher on Daredevil?
Yeah.
Is going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This rumor came from a couple different sources, or a couple different reasoning. First off, the creator of Punisher was at the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premiere that they had at Marvel. And Jed Whedon got up and said that it'll make sense later on why all these guys are here, because they had some other creators there as well.
Right. Uh-huh. And there was also a scheduling issue with John Barenthal.
He was originally, I believe, supposed to be at New York Comic Con all 4 days, where John and I will be next week. And
But as it turns out, he'll only be there for two of the days.
He will only be there for 2 days because of
Marvel filming commitments.
Yes, Marvel filming commitments, which everyone said it could mean one of two things. They're already working on the Punisher series secretly, which I kind of find that to be next to impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah, they've been pretty strict about the two shows per year.
Right. Or he's guesting on something else, which...
That pretty much leaves one thing. I mean, he could guest in Iron Fist, I guess.
Right, right.
But the more likely... I didn't even think they started production on Iron Fist yet. I don't think they did. So it seems more likely that he's going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. And there have been stories with Punisher and Ghost Rider, in, of course, in the comics. One being a human of vengeance, and the other being the spirit of vengeance.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, because if this Ghost Rider does have the pen and stare, I would be interested in seeing that pairing, because one of the comic hallmarks of Punisher is that he's not affected by it.
Right. Yeah.
Because he knows what he's done, and he doesn't feel any guilt over it.
Right.
Who is it? Him and Venom. Venom isn't affected by it either.
Yeah.
Right.
So, all right. See, I did research. I am so happy with myself right now. Oh man. No, it would be nice. I still don't understand why they haven't done many or any real crossovers yet, seeing as how, I mean, the one thing DC is doing well is, you know, you've got Arrow on the Flash on Supergirl, and Supergirl doing a crossover with all of them later, and yeah, everybody flying in and out of Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
There's no reason why we can't see Kristen Ritter step onto, you know, the plane, or, you know.
Just... You're right. But I think that the DC TV world has made it super easy for that, because their seasons correlate time-wise, you know, the continuity correlates well. So writing those stories is a bit easier, you know, with the Marvel TV universe. If you even just looking at the TV universe, the disparity in how things are laid out for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. versus all of the Netflix stuff, it does make it a little bit challenging. But given that they have such a wide berth of time right now, with a bunch of the characters, I honestly don't see it being too big of an issue to have more than one. Like, they could have, like you said, they could have Punisher, they could have Jessica Jones. I doubt we'll see Luke Cage show up this season, per se.
Mm-hmm.
They let him shine on his own show first. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of those characters who we won't see again until Defenders, that we could easily, you know, see a little interstitial nod of them in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which would be nice. Then you could have Lady Sith on there, and you'd finally, you'd have yourself a fight.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's...
I want to see a drinking contest between her and Jessica Jones.
There you go.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Drinking and arm wrestling.
Drunk arm wrestling.
There you go.
You throw a little, you know, kiddie pool with some Jell-O.
Oh, had to go there.
Yeah. See, you know, you see... That's what you do.
Who would really like to see that would be Stan Lee.
Oh, yes.
He'd sell tickets.
And speaking of the great Stan Lee, it was revealed that they've already filmed his next four cameos.
Oh, is there something about his health we don't know then?
No, but he
well,
is in
wait,
his
hold
90s.
On, hold on, hold on. No,
I'm having another skill for about that.
Don't you?
I just did. I just said that. And you know what? When I said it, I heard it. And that means that I've heard about his, that something about his health.
So you heard it here first, folks.
No, yeah, no, exclusive. No, don't start. No, no. I do not want to be responsible for starting that rumor. No.
You know, it's like Doctor Who said, don't you think she looks a little bit tired?
Yes, I remember that. That was a good episode. But no, in all honesty, like, even if there's absolutely nothing wrong with him, it's a smart move to get ahead on that, because you never know with these things. I mean, he's not a young, you know, young whippersnapper these days.
No.
So
he's 90, yeah. 91,
something like that. Yeah. He's in his early 90s.
Yes.
So,
So of course those cameos were Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Thor Ragnarok. So we at least know he will be in those four movies.
Yeah.
I wonder if they could do Infinity War, or they well, I mean, without a, they don't even have a, do they have the script for that yet?
Apparently, there's a while this was going on, there was a production meeting going on where they're talking about his cameos for Black Panther and Infinity War. So,
Yeah, they're speculating that those are the four that he's done these cameos for. They know that one of them was for Doctor Strange,
right?
Because he was doing production in London, and that's where they're doing a lot of the filming for that. But they're speculating that the other three are Guardians, Spider-Man, and Thor, because those are the next to be released.
Yeah.
But it's possible that he could have, that one or two of those could have alternately been for Black Panther or Avengers Infinity War.
Well, I'm sure at this point he just has a green screen set up at his house. Just walk by the screen. Okay. And then
They'll just eventually, what's going. Eventually it'll just be mocap. He'll just have a mocap room in his house.
And then Andy Serkis will play him in the next cameo.
Exactly. He's very spry now.
But he keeps talking about Precious. I don't understand.
I think he can still do his own voice work at least.
Yes. Don't.
Very distinct voice.
Don't do it, John. Done. John, stop. Anyway.
I'm not gonna say it. I'll tweet it.
No, that is a man of steel. Like, he is not going away anytime soon.
Famous words. No. But he will be at New York Comic Con next weekend.
Yes.
And John will fight his way to meet the man.
Yes, I've got my chains and whips. Oh wait, that's not that equipment.
For the hotel.
That's for a different guest.
No, that would be awesome if getting an interview with him would probably be like, you know, you get that. The next thing you do is you buy a couple of lotto tickets. but, you know, we can always try.
Well, I mean, if it's anything like every past convention that I've ever seen, when he is signing, it's just doop, 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 doop right through. He doesn't,
Yeah, well, that's the way it was with Agent Carter. You know, they just whip you right through, and it's like, turn this way. What? Click. You know, you get a photo worse than the DMV photo that you get, and then they whip you through the signing booth. It's just, you know, you barely get to say two words to them.
He got whipped? Wait a minute. She whipped you?
Ha, ha, ha.
He paid extra for that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you should have seen the badge picture for that one. No, it just, I don't know. It used to be like 20 years ago when I used to go to these originally, and, you know, it was mostly Trek back then, but you had a lot of time to spend with some of these people. It wasn't like this whole production where, you know, that you have less time than you would with the president, for crying out loud.
Yes. Well, they've grown a little bit.
But we're going to try, because we're superhero speak, damn it.
Yes. Yes, we are. Damn it.
Yeah, I've got cards that say that now. Ha ha.
Yes, and he will be handing them out at New York.
Speaking of superheroes.
Well, and they're hard enough, too, so I can, like, fling them and probably hit Stan Lee upside the head with one from across
the
room. No! Don't be trying to be Gambit at the Comic-Con.
But he'd appreciate that.
On a level, yes. After you were beaten down by security and it was removed from his forehead.
But he'd have our card. He'll know our name. He may curse it for the rest of his life, but he will know our name.
I think I know what the topic will be for our next comic book now, John.
Oh, crap. Oh, no.
It'll be centered around the Brony.
Yeah.
Yes, and how he does in prison? Is that what you're saying?
Speaking of superheroes speaking.
Yes?
We got our first clip of Superman action on Supergirl.
By the way, I did try to give you a segue to that a minute ago.
I know. But some people don't stop talking.
I know.
Yeah, the lithium ion battery on that burned out completely and took it out. Just like that joke. Go ahead.
Yes.
So you've seen the clip? I mean,
I have the page up where the clip exists. I don't know if I've actually watched it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a busy week.
Yeah, that's what they all say. It's only Monday. So basically, there's a spacecraft that's crashing, and you see Clark Kent on the phone talking to Perry White, which mirrors a little bit the introduction of Supergirl in the first episode from the first season, where she's on the phone with Kat, and, you know, she's, oh, yeah, I'll be there, blah, blah, getting yelled at or whatever. So they're trying to say, I guess there's a parallel between, you know, Clark and Kara.
Well, I think that is the bumbling Clark Kent. I mean, that's sort of part of his
shtick.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's a TV behind them, and there's a news article starts, and they're talking about this spaceship that's crashing. There's 200 people on it, and then you cut to Kara watching the news of where she is, and they keep going back and forth, and then you hear the the one announcer go, "I hope he's listening," you know. And you see him start run off, you know, to pull his shirt open. And then you see where Kara is. I hope she's listening.
Yep.
It's like, really? Are we going to be that obvious?
Yep. Yeah, we are.
That pandering. And then, of course, they both save the plane. Or, well, they start saving the plane. I mean, it looked good. It looked decent. It was I'm still not sure I'm sold on him as Superman yet. But
yeah, we'll give him some time.
Right. But it also, again, it's just leading up to all of the what we talked about last time, with him being a part of the show like this now. Kind of, what's the point?
The one thing I'm upset about is that they kind of gave hints of the Zimmer music for him. So, sorry, man.
Get over it, John.
Yes. No, past it.
I can't. I will never get past that. That is going to be something I will harp on for the rest of my life. You can't beat Williams.
That's no one tries to. No one tries to beat Williams. All right, but it's just you can't always afford Williams.
There you go.
Anyway, yes.
So if they can't afford Williams, don't do it at all. That's his point. I mean, it's just, you know, that'll be in the premiere episode next week. Right? No, not next week, 2 weeks. She's late. No, she's
later. Yeah, she's delayed. That's right.
Yeah, she's later than everyone else.
Next week we get Flash and Arrow.
Yes.
And I think the following week we get Supergirl and Legends.
Right. Yes. Because there's probably an Arrow tie-in to Flashpoint. That's probably why we're getting him same week.
Because it's only one episode.
Yes. Wait, what?
You haven't heard that? That basically the director, essentially, like, in talking about Flashpoint event, has sort of minimized the impact now, at one point in talking about it.
Did you spring a leak, John?
In the Flashpoint episode.
No, it's just me trying to assume my persona of the DC apologist.
Yes. So he essentially, he didn't explicitly say it's only one episode long, but he essentially alluded to it being resolved within an episode or maybe an episode and a half.
Why would you do that?
I told you guys. I predicted it.
Yeah, you actually did, yeah. That's kind of scary, actually.
I know how these guys work.
As chief DC apologist, I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
You should be. So
I am.
So, okay.
You know what? As penance, I'll go watch the show that shall not be named.
But it looks like, we weren't going to talk about it, but it looks like, all the extended clips promos they've been showing for Flash look really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're going to actually have Reverse Flash.
In Legends, right?
Well, he's going to be on Flash first.
Yeah. So he'll be on Flash first, and I'll probably set up how he ends up being part of the team in Legends. Like how he gets a, because they showed a lot of clips of him and Barry, you know, talking about what he's going through and, you know, him being captured. I'd imagine the resolution to all of this will be that he will eventually fix the Flashpoint paradox, and Reverse Flash will get away somehow or go somewhere else, you know, have his powers and be able to escape. And that's when he'll become part of this League of Doom.
Right. Because
Legion of Doom.
And he's talking about, again, how he screwed up the timeline, created a world for himself. And that leads, again, to another interesting point because, and we won't, you know, we'll find out soon. But the whole, paradox kind of thing. Well, he's dead in the other reality. So if Barry switches it back, how can he be in Legends of Tomorrow as the part of the Legion of Doom? So
technically, because, you can't switch completely back.
Because wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff?
Yes, we'll see. And it's interesting because, you know, Matt Lesher?
Lesher.
You don't pronounce the T. Yeah, Matt Lesher actually gets to reprise his role as Reverse Flash.
Yeah, it'll be good for him because I know that he only got very limited time to wear that suit in previous seasons.
And he was pretty good.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yes, that'd be an interesting question if we ever got him on the show.
Yeah, we'll have to see what we can do about that.
Yes. So in the meantime, yeah. So again, just it looked good. We'll have to see, and again, we'll have to see back to Supergirl. We'll have to see how much Superman affects the season. You know, it's going to be a hard balance, a hard line to walk. Because, like you've said this quite a few times, Ben. Like, now that you have him out there, he's out in front of you. Like, you can't put him back in the box.
Right. You have to. It's going to be a difficult tightrope act for them to play to not have this turn into, you know, the supers. Like they've got to be careful not to keep this a show about Supergirl,
right?
And try to avoid, you know, it'll. I mean, I'm open to it. I'm interested in what they're going to do with it. Having him actually show up and have a face is better than what they did with him last season. So, you know, it's like I said, it's all or nothing. The middle ground sucks, and hopefully they'll handle it right.
Yes. All right. So the last thing I wanted to talk about this week.
Yes.
There was a dubious list that was put out on the internet. We saw it shared around on Facebook. In fact, I believe the Nerdist shared this list.
Yeah, they did. That sort of kind of gave me some pause.
Right. That's just how we became aware of it. And yes. It is the 21. It's the Daily Dot did the list.
Yeah. Which normally I would ignore a story from the Daily Dot because they're. They're sort of a bubblegum, you know,
right.
Pop culture-ish
but
publication.
Again,
TMZ.
since the Nerdist shared it got our attention. And it is the 21 best, quote-unquote, superhero movies ranked.
By the way, the quote-unquote is not part of the article title. That's just how Dave is framing it.
Well, I have an issue because right off the bat, Sky High is number 21 on the list.
Yeah.
That actually should have been higher than that. I mean, lower. I mean, it should have been farther down the list. That was a really good show, actually.
You mean movie?
Yeah.
Well, but hold on. It was a made for TV movie that was on Disney.
I thought that was Linda Carter in the theaters. It had.
That was actually in the theaters. I'm pretty sure it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay. I never saw it in the theater. I always thought it was just made for TV.
And it had Linda Carter in it, for crying out loud.
Okay. And it had Panabaker in it.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. It did.
And also the girl who went on to be, what was her name? Ramona Flowers.
I don't know.
That's one of those Mary weird Elizabeth confluences of talent, you know?
It was. And
it was, but I wasn't a big fan of it, so.
I'll put it this way. I actually really enjoyed it, but I would never put it on a list of best superhero movies.
Why?
Well,
okay. I mean,
it depends on how long the list is. It depends on how long the list is.
Right, it's 20. If you're only going 21.
If I'm stack ranking every superhero movie that there is.
There aren't that many of them.
I know. I would definitely put it above several others attempts. Like, for instance, Batman's 3 and 4.
Oh, okay. So they're not that many. There's a lot more superhero movies than you think. But we won't get into that.
Wait a minute. Did you say you would put that after Batman Forever? Because I'm going to have to
punch you. I'm saying I would rank it higher. I would rank it. It would be above, not in number, but in ranking.
He would have it on the list and hide it higher, but he wouldn't, you know, if he's only doing 21, there's other ones that didn't make this list that deserve to be on here.
Okay, but as long as it comes before Batman Forever and every Fantastic Four movie ever made.
They're not even on the list. So don't.
Right.
Good.
Okay. Yes. Big Hero 6 was 20.
Which was a good movie, too.
It was a good movie, but it's not. It doesn't. To me, it doesn't fit the genre. You know?
It does. It's a hero movie.
If you keep the genre loose, then it does fit.
Yeah, right. If you're keeping it loose. But, you know, I kind of try to keep it hardcore comic book, but that's me.
We know how you are. it is. Yes.
Yeah, but if you do that, there aren't that many movies that you
all the way down at 19, we have Deadpool.
Yeah, that's wrong. And I made the comments, like, I thought for a minute the list was backwards, because Deadpool should be close to the top.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. Maybe it's up 19 because of the, you know, the rated R. Maybe that was like factored in.
And further, the lowest ranked X-Men movie on this list at number 18 was X-Men First Class.
Which is also bad. It should have been up.
There should be the only X-Men movie that could possibly rank above that on any list is X-Men Days of Future Past. And that's contentious.
Yeah.
But they have others besides
that. So wait, you mean Last Stand, you don't think? Anyway, okay, and then number 17, I don't think this should be above Deadpool or First Class at all.
No, but it should rank somewhere in the list. I mean, Chronicle was, it was pretty good.
I'll admit I haven't seen it yet, so I can't really judge.
Yeah, I didn't care for it either.
Well, that was one of those first person, it was those lost footage films. It was more... But with crazy kids who had powers and were killing people.
It was more realistic in the fact that, like, yes, if kids got powers, you know, they're not going to go and...
How stupid would they be?
Well, right. It's not that great. No. They didn't get the great power comes great responsibility speech, so...
Right.
But don't forget...
I'll say this about it. Even if it was a wonderful, wonderful movie, it did put Dane DeHaan in a light to be cast as... Little Osborne and Michael B. Jordan in the limelight enough to be cast as Johnny Storm and Josh Trank in the director's seat of Fantastic Four.
So it should never be on a list because of this.
Right. Its collateral effect was horrendous.
Number 16, we've got Iron Man 3.
Which was a good movie. It was definitely, I think that was a solid Iron Man movie.
It was. It gets a lot of flack because he doesn't spend a lot of time in the suit flying around blowing stuff up. But
he has way more suits and pretty awesome ones at that.
And that was the kind of the point of the movie is that, again, he said, because he says, it wraps up the movie by saying it, that he is Iron Man. He doesn't need the suit to be the hero anymore.
Yes. And then immediately goes out and builds 20 more suits.
Yes. 15 is Blade.
Now, this is the one that makes me think that they're not just ranking the superhero movies on their own merit, but on the merit of what effect they had on the genre. Because Blade came first. It was the first one to really get people in the seats. And, you know, Blade, it was the first one to make these superhero movies or comic book movies viable.
It was, no, Blade was the movie that washed Batman and Robin taste out everyone's mouth.
Yes.
Well, yes, and made it viable.
Yes. Then we have Unbreakable at 14.
Which
arguably was one of Shyamalan's good movies.
Yes.
Well, if you take the last 10 minutes off of it, the beginning of it up to the last 10 minutes belongs up the list. You add the last 10 minutes and it's like that adding a spoonful of sewage to a barrel full of wine thing. You still have sewage.
I did not have a problem with the ending. My only problem with the ending is that it seemed to set up for
a sequel
for a sequel, and it never came.
Right.
You know, Well, I'm sure they'll make that right after they finish Jim and the Holograms.
Well, you should actually go over to Screen Junkies interviewed Patton Oswalt last year, and he had a whole plan for two sequels for a trilogy. You know, involving, you know, spinning off of Unbreakable, and I thought it was a great idea.
So was the twist that they didn't make them?
No.
So at number 13...
Do we need to talk about 13?
Oh, God. Why? How is this
again,
in there?
Again,
this is what invalidates this entire list.
I know. I agree.
X-Men
2.
2. Not Last Stand, thank goodness. 2.
Not even X-Men 1. Like, X-Men 2 does not belong on this list, period.
I would put,
X-Men 1 could be on this list, but much, much lower than this position.
And I would put X-Men Origins Wolverine on here before X-Men 2.
All right, now you're going a little far.
Oh, no, I'm not.
No. X-Men 2 was horrible, but X-Men Wolverine Origins was way worse.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I agree.
just because they destroyed Deadpool doesn't mean...
They destroyed a lot of things in that movie.
And then number 12...
They were essentially... X-Men Origins Wolverine was essentially what Tyler Durden did to that blonde dude.
All right.
He wanted to destroy something pretty.
Yes.
Okay.
No. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. But X-Men 2, I don't know why it's even on the list. Number 12, Superman.
There should be two entries for this Superman.
There should be an asterisk here.
Yeah, there should be a Donner cut, and then there's the one that actually made it to the screen.
That's Superman 2.
But see, you're assuming the Daily Dot knows about the Donner cut.
Hmm.
Yes. I don't think they know anything about superhero movies because I'm reading this list.
Yeah. And it doesn't just go for Superman 2. The original movie was also interfered with. I mean, not to the extent that Superman 2 was, but if it was all Donner, we wouldn't have had some of the stupid, you know, gags that they put in there and the weird powers and all.
Number 11?
Mm-hmm.
The first Captain America movie, first Avenger.
It belongs on the list. It belongs higher on the list.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best of the Captain Americas, so it's like...
No. But this list is suspect in a lot of other ways. Honestly, as far as I'm concerned, anything in the top 10 should be Marvel movies.
Yeah.
We're going to start with number 10, Batman Returns.
Right. Which should be way farther up the... back farther.
I am going to print this list, and I will burn it. Just because of that.
I mean, you know, a penguin who actually eats fish, live fish in front of you. That's...
Stop talking. Just stop talking.
And then he comes in your Happy Meal toy as your Happy Meal toy afterwards. Number nine,
Thor.
Thor was good.
Yes.
I have no problem with any of the Thor movies so far.
All right, so we'll leave that at number nine.
That was easy.
Number eight, Spider-Man. And of course, we're talking about the 2002.
Yeah. The originals. Movie. It was important at the time. It was a good movie at the time. I honestly, and I think you would agree with me on this, Dave, Spider-Man 2 was a better Spider-Man movie than the first Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 was the best of the original trilogy.
Of the original trilogy, yes. Clearly, Spider-Man 3 was the worst. Spider-Man 2 should be on this list instead if any Spider-Man were to be on this list. But I'm okay with Spider-Man being on the list. I just don't know if it ranks as high of a ranking as it's gotten.
Well, that's because Tobey Maguire still looked like he was under 30 at the time.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. The next one surprises me a lot.
Hellboy 2, The Golden Army.
I mean, I liked the movie. It was a good movie, but it was not well received or well rated critically.
Like, it wasn't as good as the first, as far as I'm concerned.
Everyone likes the first one better.
The first one was perfect, and the first one's not on their list. Yeah. And so this makes zero sense to me.
Yes.
Number six, The Avengers.
Yeah, now why they have Uma Thurman and The Avengers on here, I really don't understand how it made it into this movie.
Well, I mean, Uma Thurman is a very...
No.
And Ralph Fiennes is, well, he's fine. Especially when he had a nose.
We're talking about the first Avengers movie where they go against Loki and the
Loki pokey stick.
The Loki pokey stick.
Had a pokey stick too.
So yes,
The Avengers absolutely belongs on this list. I think it needs to be much higher than number six,
just for the lack of people not dressed in bear suits.
Number five. Now this belongs in the top five, but I think it should be a little higher.
I agree.
Is The Dark Knight.
Yes, this was like as close as you could have gotten to, a good Batman movie.
Yeah, and honestly, I thought Batman Begins was a good Batman movie, too. And that should be on this list instead of Batman Returns.
God, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number four, Iron Man.
Iron Man, which kicked off the whole universe thing, and it was good. I liked it.
Technically, The Incredible Hulk kicked off the universe. Iron Man just did it better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number...
What was it? Ang Lee? No, I don't.
No, not that one.
That was Hulk.
That was Hulk. Incredible. The Eric Bana one is non-canon, not part of the MCU.
Well, there have been so many of them, I get confused
One, The Incredible Hulk, which had Ed Norton in it, is canon to the MCU.
Are you talking the guy who played Banner or the Hulk?
The story of that movie and those characters is canon, which is why we saw the same actor, William Hurt, playing Thunderbolt Ross in the recent Captain America movie.
Right.
because that is a continuation.
Ah.
Are you straight now?
No.
Oh.
But go on. Number three, X-Men.
Number three, the first X-Men movie.
Again, I'm kind of okay with this being on the list, but it definitely doesn't deserve to be number three.
Right.
I mean, if we're talking about impact,
which is what they talk about
on the industry, then sure, it should be high on the list. But if they're talking about just the quality of the movies alone, it doesn't deserve as high a spot.
Number two, the 1989 Batman.
I will always have a soft spot in my heart for this movie.
Yes.
That said, there were better Batman movies.
My issue with putting this at number two means that you're ranking Jack Nicholson's Joker above Heath Ledger's.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work for me.
Well, you know what? Maybe this belies the age of the people that were making this list. I mean, Batman, the 1989 version, was the first superhero movie that I sat online for.
Yeah.
You know, it, besides Star Wars, that's when I really remember standing in line for getting there early because it was so popular at the time.
Back then, online meant something entirely different.
Yes.
Caveat. Yes, it meant actually being in a line.
Yes. Right. But yeah, not logged into Fandango, hitting the button to get the tickets. I agree though that Heath Ledger's it belongs high on the list, but not as high up as some of these other guys.
Yeah,
definitely.
And the number one movie on the Daily Dots 21 best superhero movie list is Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Again, it was a good movie. Yes. It was an excellent movie. I would definitely have it in my top five. Number one, I don't know. That's a long discussion.
Yes.
I will say that the Russo brothers have definitely proven themselves with this movie and with other movies since. And they are an excellent part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I don't know.
I find it interesting that they didn't put Civil War in here.
Yeah, I agree. Especially since it's such a recent list, and Civil War I thought was a great movie. Again, if it was my list, it would probably be in the top 10.
I am upset that Batman Mask of the Phantasm isn't on here. It had a theatrical release.
It did.
It had brought one of the best portrayals of the Joker ever, while still using Mark Hamill's voice, and they pulled out all the stops. It was an amazing story, and it was Bruce Timm at his best. It was in theaters. I think it's one of the best ones out there. I really do.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, if they were considering animated, then maybe it would have made the list. Mm. But it seems like they're focused on live action.
Then I'll wait for the sequel to Howard the Duck.
Yes, coming soon.
Also known as Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yeah.
Which, again, that's another movie that I would have put in my top 10.
Oh, speaking of that,
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's true. One. Oh, yeah, that would be way up there. That was right up there with Deadpool. That was amazing. Absolutely. When that came out.
Real quick, what's his name? The director of Guardians of the Galaxy. Gunn.
Yeah, James Gunn. James Gunn.
Did you catch his live Facebook thing he did not too long ago?
I don't believe I did.
So, you know, he did one of those live Facebook things, and he had people asking him questions, and one of the questions is, are we going to see more Howard of the Duck? And yeah, he said he would definitely love to add more Howard in.
You know what they need to do? They need to do a movie of Deadpool's roast with Howard. They need to do Deadpool Murders the Marvel Universe.
Well, they might eventually. Yeah. We shall see.
Well, I mean, they may have to, given that Tony Stark, what's his name?
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, it might be the only way he can get out of his contract. Have Deadpool murder him. There you go.
So I want to say thank you to Andy, one of our listeners, for bringing that list also to our attention as well.
And past cohorts.
Yes, and past cohorts or coworker. Yes. I don't know. I really don't. There's not like there's little explanations. We'll have a link to this list in the show notes. There's little explanations for each one. You know, kind of why they like them.
Yeah, don't be surprised if their little angry faces drawn
but
all over.
There's
it.
No like overall explanation of what they based this list on and what they compiled it. It just seems like the person who wrote the list, Gavia Baker, Whitelaw, just randomly picked 21 movies they liked, and there you go.
Maybe it's by box office
it's
too.
It's a way to put a list together, I guess.
Maybe they just generated it off of IMDb with the box office.
It could be, but they actually put text under each of them explaining why how they felt about it.
So they hooked it up to Wikipedia.
All right. So
I wish I were joking about that, but they're actually doing that kind of thing these days.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm not going to assume that per se. I do think that they, I don't know, from a fan of these movies with, I'd like to think, an iota of geek cred, I don't think that this list meshes with what most people's top movies would be.
Yeah, because if it did, you'd see I Am 4 on it.
John with the deep cuts.
Yes, he cuts me deeply. It's a joke.
Anyway.
You know, something interesting about this list is...
what's that?
A lot of the people in the movies, the people in these movies, they wear capes.
They do. Well, yeah. A lot more than I would have in my list. Yeah.
And they don't walk around with pineapples or pens.
Nope, they do
not. Boy. Or honey badgers, for that matter, if we're going to go down that road.
You know Tim Cook is going to see that video, and it's going to give him an idea, though.
Really?
Oh, no.
All right. Well, enough foolishness. On that note, boys and girls, as we say each and every week, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week. P-P-A-P.
I have a pen, I have an apple, apple pen. I have a pen, I have pineapple, pineapple pen, apple pen, pineapple pen. Pen, pineapple, apple pen. Pen, pineapple, apple pen.